Hello, and welcome to the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I'm Carl from selfsufficienthub.com, and I'm here to talk about all things self-sufficiency. Sustainability and food security matters. Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 172 of the Self-Sufficient Hub podcast. I hope you're all safe and well. Today, I'm going to be answering a set of questions posed to me by Alan from the Urban Homesteading UK podcast. And one of the really overwhelming positives that has come from doing both this podcast and the YouTube channel is the small community that's growing around it, whether that's on the Facebook group or whether it's just through communicating privately with individuals that I would otherwise have never have met, or of course the community that's built up on YouTube that follow my videos there. It's just been a huge benefit of what I'm doing, and I'm so grateful for it. One of the people whom I would probably have never met had it not been for this podcast is Alan Roderick. And Alan and Mike do fantastic work over at the Urban Homesteading UK podcast. I'm sure you've heard me mention them several times. I genuinely love what they produce over there. It's very, very different to mine, although it covers a lot of the same topics. It's just as informative, but just in a very, very different way. It's far more just a couple of guys having a chat, and I genuinely, genuinely love it. But off the back of originally Alan reaching out to me and the two of us having a conversation, we each appeared on each other's shows, and we've stayed in touch with plans to collaborate on all sorts of things in the future. They are both those guys over there, fairly experienced beekeepers, so they're quite often readily on hand with a little bit of advice in that area. But Alan sent me a text message around 4 or 5 days ago asking me about basically the idea of becoming a homesteader, of moving from the sort of environment where you are doing a little bit in your back garden or perhaps with an allotment and a little bit of preserving and what have you, and taking the step to maybe becoming the custodian of a much bigger piece of land and all that is wrapped up within that. So that's going to be the topic of today's discussion. Now, Alan sent me a series of questions, and I'm going to sort of run through them in no particular order, but he was basically just saying, you know, when I made the big jump into homesteading, what was the impact that it had on my family? What were the hopes and dreams and fears and anxieties that I may have had, and how did they play out? You know, did it go as expected? Has having this amount of workload been a problem with full-time jobs, and how do I get around that? Is it something that the whole family wanted? You know, did we go into this all together thinking this was our dream? How did it work financially for us? And did it necessitate a huge change in lifestyles, and what are the pros and cons therein? So those are the things that I'm going to be talking about today. And hopefully if you're in the position either now or in the future of considering stepping into a much bigger project with regards to homesteading, hopefully this episode will be of some benefit to you. But I feel that I need to start with my homesteading origin story, really. And it's something that I've shared on the podcast before, and I think it bears repeating here, though, because it is the background to so many of these questions and the frame within which that they're going to be answered. Because we didn't really make that kind of jump. We didn't decide that we wanted to suddenly start raising animals and growing food and we wanted to become homesteaders. It was a much more organic process for us, and we kind of slipped into it. Although having said that, it definitely came out of the blue and sort of happened quite fast. So we definitely experienced a lot of the transitions that I'll be talking about. But basically, my background is I'm a builder. That's what I do in my 9 to 5, and my 5 to 9 now is homesteading. it certainly feels like I spend perhaps not quite as much time, but as much energy on homesteading as I do on my regular day job. But how we came to be here, I think, is quite important. So 3 years ago, give or take, my wife and I ended up moving to the property that we're in now, but it wasn't something that we looked for. It wasn't something that we sought after. As I've mentioned, I'm a builder, and over quite a long period of time, I'd developed a fantastic relationship with one of my clients. Now, she owned a series of properties, and we were basically renovating one for her to move into. However, around a month or maybe even less before she was due to move into this property, a semi-distant relative died, and basically the short version is that my client decided that rather than moving into the property that we were just finishing renovating, she wanted to move into her aunt's old property. So that's what happened. Now, as I mentioned, this client owns several properties, and the property that we were renovating wasn't one that she was looking to put on the market or anything else. She was going to rent it out. But having just done all of the internal renovations for herself, and it happened to be the property that she had grown up in as a child, she didn't want to just rent it out to anybody. So she approached me and basically said, would you like a 5-year lease to rent this property? And we will do it at a massively reduced rent. As a result, I mean, it was just an opportunity that I felt I couldn't say no to. My wife and I were living in a very, very standard, semi-detached house with a very, very regular, small, town-sized garden. And we kept a couple of hens, but that was about it. And we had this opportunity to basically rent out our property and rent the one that we're now living in for the same value, give or take, you know, as a couple of £100 more. But it just seemed like an opportunity that was too good to pass up on. So within literally 2 weeks of the idea even being mentioned, we'd moved into this new property. And when that happened, it was just a case of, you know, we suddenly had an 8-acre garden, and it was a little bit daunting, but it weighed upon me heavily, almost instantly, the massive sense of both gratitude for this land and also a sense of custodianship. I just really felt very strongly that it was my job to look after it and not waste it, not waste this opportunity. And I didn't want to waste the land either. I didn't want to waste any single parcel of it. Now, as regular listeners will know, there's quite a lot of that 8 acres that we can't really do a lot with. There's probably around 3 acres immediately surrounding the property, which are basically like manicured lawns and formal gardens. And all we can do in those spaces is maintain them. But outside those areas is another couple of acres of grass paddocks, some woodland, and some more sort of wild areas that we were able to basically terraform and do what we want with. So that's the area that I really set my mind to and started transforming. We put in, as you will know, vegetable beds, paddocks for goats, the fencing in the wood to take our pigs, a compost loo, a small food forest in its infancy, and lots of other little areas, including the ponds. So the idea of making the transition wasn't one that we had prepared for. It was one that just sort of happened. We had no desire to become self-sufficient or to grow all our own food until we moved here. And it's something that we sort of grew into. So with regards to hopes, dreams, fears and anxieties, we really sort of skipped that bit because we didn't really have any of the planning stage. It just kind of happened to us. Now, while we were going through all this transition, I was also going through a transition at work. I personally used to run a relatively large building company, and that all collapsed around my ears, and basically in a not particularly pleasant way, and I was left to become a regular builder again. And I've got to be honest, the kind of the relief that came with that was quite welcome. So I moved to basically working as a jobbing builder and coming home and looking after the grounds and the animals. Now, one thing I will say is that off the back of this is it meant that we did everything gradually. We added everything gradually. We started with a couple of goats and a vegetable garden, and then we gradually added pigs, more goats, the milking, and all the other things that we're doing. So one thing I will say is that just because you are considering moving to a much, much bigger property, it doesn't mean that you need to do everything all at once. There are so many considerations as well when you're taking on a larger property. And even though they're not considerations that we went through this time around, we are now considering or already looking for a similar size property to the one we're in that hopefully we'll be able to buy within the next couple of years. So we're looking at those considerations now. And you kind of have the land and then you have the buildings as well. And one thing I would definitely say is having some outbuildings is a huge advantage. It's one thing we are massively lacking here. We've just got a couple of sheds, and outbuildings would make such a huge difference, particularly for animal husbandry. The other thing is the house that you're going to live in. Now, we were very, very fortunate. Obviously, we moved into a house that was recently renovated. And I think if you were, you know, as a lot of people do consider buying a rundown house and having doing up the house as part of the project, then I think that's going to add quite a lot of workload and potentially pressure to the idea of moving. So that's not to say you shouldn't do it. Absolutely not. We're going to be looking for exactly that type of property, but it is something to bear in mind. You can now support the show directly. Just go to patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. You can become a patron and set up to donate to the show from any amount. Pledging as little as $3 a month makes a huge difference. If that's not your thing, you can also support the show by sharing it with people you know or posting about it on social media. We really appreciate all the help that you give us. It's people like you that make this show possible. So Alan's first immediate question was, what sort of impact did it have on the family? And I have to say that for us, they were pretty much all positive, at least to start with. You know, that having the space for the kids is just massive. And having the freedom to be able to do what you want in that space is amazing as well. The only downside with regards to impact is really only been on myself and my wife, and that's if you call it a downside, because these are things that we've chosen, and that is just the commitment. So, you know, we very much don't really go out very much, and that's through choice. You know, we never did. We weren't really socialites. We'd occasionally go out for dinner to a friend's house, and we'd entertain and have people over to ours. And that's really cut back, not only because of the pandemic, but because of the commitments on our time. You know, the idea of someone coming over at the weekend to spend 3 or 4 hours here is not always easy, because generally speaking at the moment, particularly because it's spring and our workload at home is so high, you know, every hour at the weekend is already allocated to some task or another, and it's really, really difficult to squeeze in anything else. Same applies in the evenings. Now, this does ease up in the rest of the year and in the winter, but in spring, it really is difficult to squeeze in anything else. But again, you know, we've added all these different elements to what we're doing, and you don't necessarily need to do that. One of the things I would say is that depending on how you are financially, you can actually reduce a lot of your workload by spending a little bit of money. A great example is something that I'm hoping to be doing in the next few days, as soon as I get chance. Now, we have quite a lot of electric fencing, and they're all run off basically car batteries. And we do use solar chargers to keep them topped up, but they don't work perfectly, especially during the winter. They don't keep them fully charged. So every so often, periodically, my wife checks those batteries for charge twice a day. But every so often, perhaps once or twice a week, one of the batteries will need to come in, be replaced with another, and be charged up fully in the house. Well, I'm looking to install a system of mains electric fencing that runs off our mains. So it's a fair bit of work to install, but once it's done, it will take off probably 2 hours a week from my wife's workload, maybe even a bit more than that. So there are lots and lots of different things like this that you can do to reduce the amount of time required. And it really does come down to budget, but it's just something that's worth bearing in mind. You know, if there are areas that you're struggling with, you can always reduce the amount of labour that is required with spending some money. So the impact on the family, as I say, is been entirely positive, I think. And having the children grow up around that connection to food is something that I value personally. I mean, I've always said this, even though I've not been involved in raising my own food, I've always found it quite shocking how you could walk around a supermarket and you just know that a lot of the children there shopping with their parents have no idea. If you were to walk down the meat counter and start pointing to meat and ask them what animal it came from, that they'd have no idea. Well, I've always tried to raise my children to understand that link between where their food comes from and what happens on the plate and what happens in the farm. And, you know, I used to quite often, when my children were very, very young, we'd stand at the meat counter and we'd talk about which part of the animal different parts of meat come from, and or different cuts of meat come from, rather, and which animals they came from. Because to me, that was very, very important, just for an honest conversation and to live an honest life. So I've always been very, very strongly in favour of that. I've been a strong advocate of that for a long time. And being able to actually to have that process happen in our garden is, you know, just another way of reinforcing that in our children. And involving them in growing food, in feeding the animals, you know, these are all really, really positive things. The next sort of direct question is, has it gone as expected? And I have to say again, you know, we didn't really have expectations, but generally speaking, yes. The thing is, I think it's really important to know yourself and know what sort of person you are. I'm the sort of person who dives in with 2 feet and I just start a million projects and I expect some of them to go wrong. So, you know, what sort of person are you? And of course, we can all temper the amount of work we do. So if you aren't someone that has a massive amount of time, that doesn't need to be a disclaimer against doing it. Because if you're moving into a property with lots and lots of acreage and lots of it's run down, well, you don't need to work on all of that at once. You can spend 5 years getting it all together. You can start very, very small. And there's no reason why you need to start more than you can take on at once. So that's the other thing I would say is, you know, you can really deal with it in whatever kind of sizes that you need to deal with it. With regard to, is workload a problem with full-time jobs and how do I get around that? Well, yes, it can be. It really can be, especially this time of year. I have to admit, I'm feeling quite exhausted. You'll notice that on Friday of last week, I didn't release a podcast. It came out a day late. I am struggling. I'm struggling to keep up. I'm particularly busy at work at the moment. Having had quite a bit of time off with my injury and my broken wrist at the tail end of last year has meant that financially I need to work a bit more than I would have had to if I hadn't had that time off. And also it's left a, you know, it's still a legacy of a bit of backlog of stuff where we'd be further ahead in the garden as well. So, you know, there are times when it becomes a problem. And how do I get around that? Well, I just have to decide which jobs need doing. You know, what are the priorities? Again, you know, I've actually this weekend I bought some seedlings for the vegetable garden because we haven't been quite as effective at getting our seeds in and germinating as we might otherwise. And, you know, that's really it. The other thing is, you know, this is what I do for fun. You absolutely have to love it. This has to be your hobby. You can't go into this thinking that you're going to have a full-time job. Your hobbies are going to be whatever they might be, swimming, playing pool, playing golf, playing poker, and then you're going to do some homesteading around it. Now, of course, you can do that. Of course, you can do that. You can do whatever you want. But if you're going to do that, you can't expect to be able to do all the things that I'm doing here, because, you know, they are basically a second job. When I get home from work now, starting right now, you know, I'll be in the evenings. This is how my evenings look now on a weekday. There will be usually a bit of cooking, although not much. I tend to do most of the cooking at the weekends. And I'll be milking the goats every single day. So that's between those two jobs, probably about an hour. There might be a little bit of watering to do, a general bit of, you know, looking after the other animals. So realistically, with all the other bits and bobs going on around here, I've got about an hour and a half's work every single night. And these are things that, you know, kind of have to be done. If I don't do them one night, they'll have to be done another. And then at the weekend is when I catch up. But that doesn't mention things like mowing lawns, weeding, hedge trimming. And these are all things that have to be fitted in as and when, weekends or obviously in the evenings. So this is my hobby and it's what I love doing. And if I didn't love doing it, then I really just, I would not be able to make it work. So that's how I get around the idea of having a full-time job and doing this as well. It's my hobby. It's my passion. It's the thing I love doing. Is it something the whole family wanted? Well, again, you know, that this is why I thought it was important to give you my origin story here. And it wasn't something that we planned for. So having a bigger house and having a bigger garden is obviously something the whole family could get on board with. You know, having space for the kids to play football outside properly and things like that is fantastic. Having a garden that we can have hammocks in is amazing. Camping in our own garden is amazing. So yes, you know, it is something the whole family wanted. And I think looking back now, you know, we would do it again. If we knew everything, we would absolutely do it again. We would jump at the chance. With regard to how did finances work out, I think, again, you know, you can really kind of pick and choose how much you want to spend. Everybody has a different idea of what they want to achieve. Not everybody is going to want the same set of animals that I wanted. Not everyone is going to want to have exactly the same size vegetable garden and grow the same crops that I do. So, you know, with regard to finances, we've always been a very, very frugal family. My wife and I are very, very frugal. So we really choose carefully what we spend our money on. And my idea when I'm buying things, when I'm spending things in the garden, it has to be, how is this going to pay me back? It's got to be either with time. So if I'm spending £50 on something, you know, within a reasonable time frame, that's got to have saved me a few hours work that I can then allocate elsewhere. Or it's got to literally come back to me. You know, if I'm buying plants, how is that going to come back to me? Is it going to save me money in things I'm actually not having to buy for myself? Or am I going to be able to sell the plants that I propagate from this and make money that way? The same with animals, you know, it's got to come back to me. So generally speaking, I think we've really managed to build everything we've got here on a shoestring budget. The one thing I will say is fencing is ridiculously expensive, even more so now with the price of timber just going through the roof with the pandemic. So these kind of bigger costs are ones that really need to be budgeted for. When we first moved in, we did quite a lot of fencing, but I did it all myself and it was just the timber I had to buy. So, you know, and that was a kind of a necessary prerequisite to a lot of the things we had to do. So I just found the money to do that. But, you know, generally speaking, I don't think it's had a big impact on our finances doing what we're doing because of the nature of how we do it. Did it necessitate a change in lifestyle and pros and cons? Well, yes, it massively did because of all the things that I've already spoke about. You know, it's the idea of this is your hobby and it is your only hobby now. But that's what I wanted. But again, these are all choices. I have chosen this and, you know, I could easily, tomorrow, I could just get rid of all the goats. I could sell our herd of goats and instantly I'd have, you know, 7 hours a week back that I'm not then required to be doing that with. So you can structure it however you wish. Obviously, plants need less time than animals. They're less of a commitment than animals. If plants starve and die, that's not too much of a moral issue. Obviously, it is with animals. So, you know, you get to choose what you want to do. If you want to, you know, set aside a huge swathe of your land as a woodland that you're going to coppice, then again, you know, that frees up your time even more. So, yes, it had an impact on our lifestyle, but it's a positive impact. It's an impact we've chosen. And that, I think, ultimately is what it comes down to. You know, you have to make these choices and do the things you want to do. I think a question that wasn't asked directly, but was implicit was, you know, can you do it on your own if you didn't have a spouse or other family members that wanted to do it with you? And again, I think the answer is yes. It would be much, much trickier because things like when I broke my wrist, you know, if all the things that Jackie does were things that I did and I was asking her to do all of those things, that would have been potentially quite a problem. But other than that, you know, I think I could just we could just scale back what we're doing. You know, we wouldn't have 100 hens because, you know, on top of my 90 minutes worth of work every day, my wife's got 90 minutes or 2 hours worth of work every day, feeding the hens, collecting the eggs, topping up all the animals' water, feeding in the morning. She does all that. So I would have to do all of that. So I don't think we'd be able to run at the scale we're running here. But again, these are all things that do scale and that we can change. So that's how I would think about that. So ultimately, what I'm trying to say is, if this is your dream, if it's something you want to do, do it. You absolutely can do it. And you can do it on your own if necessary. Just, you know, you can temper exactly what you're doing to the scale that you want to work at. So that's going to wrap me up, and I will speak to you guys really soon. Cheers. If you find this podcast valuable, there's several ways you can support it. The easiest of which is to rate and review it wherever you get your podcasts. You could also talk about it or share it wherever you post online, including your social media pages. And now you can support the podcast directly by becoming a patron at patreon.com/selfsufficienthub. However you support the podcast, we really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. See you soon. Thank you.